Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. Hi guys, this is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, and I am so excited to celebrate an incredible woman with you today. So what we do is we end eating disorders using nothing but your brains. And one thing that is just so beautiful that we get to bring to you is, you know, the stories and experiences of real women. Like, I just want you to know, like, these are never like scripted or planned, or like, this is literally just us having a conversation about where somebody has been and where they're at now, so that you guys can really understand and see and, you know, be witness to and, you know, celebrate with these incredible people who have gotten free from so many, you know, years of struggle, and, you know, just hear those real, real stories. So this is one of my favorite people. I adore this person. I am so, so, so excited for you guys to meet Amber. Hello, Amber. So fun to have you.
Hello.
So excited to celebrate you today. And it's really interesting. Sometimes we have ladies come on the show where, you know, they are just graduated and they, you know, want to share their stories because it's been so cool that, you know, they're free and like they feel great. And then we have other ladies that are like, okay, well, give me, you know, 6 months, give me a year because I really want to get things solid and then I'll share. And so we do that too. Now, Amber and I, we totally could have celebrated when you first graduated, but like there was like a snow day with the kids and now it's been quite a while and we're like, whoa, we never celebrated with you on an interview. So we're doing it today. Like, how long has it been since you graduated our program, Amber?
Just about a year.
Okay. There you go. That's awesome. So really excited to celebrate with you, not only what it's like to get free, but what it's like to be free. Like, you know, a year later, and just see how this is the gift that keeps on giving. So let's just get started with, would love to just hear a little bit of your origin story, Amber, right? Just like, tell us a little bit about how your relationship with food got developed and how it was impacting you, and a little bit about how that all started out.
Yeah, so interesting enough, I think for me, like, I have to kind of go backwards because I didn't realize I had an eating disorder until maybe a year before I found you. No clue. So it was like these pieces in my life of, like, that I could see, like, when I was a teenager, like, going to friends' houses and, like, raiding their cupboards for, like, ho-hos and, like, sweets and stuff we just didn't have at the house. And, you know, like, then when I was able to drive, like, going through the drive-thru with friends and ordering, like, a large amount of fast food stuff. And never once did it dawn on me that, like, oh, like, that's actually a problem or that's an eating disorder. It was just, like, we don't have this stuff at home, so I have the chance to get it. So, you know, and then like, as I got pregnant, started getting pregnant with kiddos, I think things started escalating then, like after I had my kids, it kind of became like more frequent and more like emotional pieces coming in, like that I could actually, you know, kind of put my hands on, like, oh, I'm really stressed and I'm eating. And I think that just kind of went up and down through the years. And then after my last kids, I think that's when I started like dieting and trying to do something and, you know, feeling like, okay, there's something really wrong. But again, it was never like a thought of I have an eating disorder or I have to do something about the way that I'm eating. It's just like, oh, I need to lose weight, or oh, I can't seem to eat right for any extended amount of time. And then it just got like worse and worse and worse. And to the point where I was literally like binging or overeating or just that feeling really out of control, like pretty much every day. And I actually remember, let's see, it was probably about 5 years ago, was the first time I think I said something to anyone. I said something to my mom and husband of, I think I like am compulsively eating. Like, I think I have a problem. and they're both like, oh, you know, you don't. Like, that's just normal. Everyone does that. You know, everyone eats too much ice cream sometimes. You know, and I'm like, in my head, like, no, I'm really doing this way more than you know. Like, you have no idea. and I kind of just let it go.
Yeah. And I love that you're bringing that up, because I think that's such an important piece of this, is so often when it starts dawning on us that something is wrong, when we share it with other people, because we're doing so much in secret, they, number one, just want to like help us feel better, right? Like, oh, no, like there's nothing going on. Like, oh, everybody does that. And then it like drives that shame and secrecy even more. Cause like you said, in my head, I was like, yeah, but you don't know how often I'm doing this. So I think that's such an important thing to bring up, is we stay in this cycle a lot for a lot longer than we need to, because every time that we try to voice something, everyone tells us it's okay. And they don't really know what's actually going on. So yeah, I just want to jump in, cause I think that's a really important, like, and beautiful piece of what happens when we try to share. So yeah. What were you saying?
And then I think like that moment also was kind of a pivot point of, you know, because everyone was saying, no, that's normal. Like, I'm okay. It like, you start doing this thing in your head where you start convincing yourself that you're really okay. You know, you start making it not as big as a deal. And like, I started looking at like health things, like, well, there must be something wrong with my liver, or there must be something wrong with my, you know, hormones, or, and I spent a lot of money like looking at different health things, you know, like food allergy testing, and like, there must be something wrong with my body. Like, not even being able to look at what was actually happening. Like, your mind just does this thing where it really covers that up every day. Like seeing the truth of what you're actually doing, like the quantities of food that you're actually eating, and like starting to make this alternative reality that you just go through every day, every day, every day.
Yeah. And oh man, like I remember being in that space too, of just like, I literally, well, something must be happening hormonally with me, because I'm eating so little and I'm gaining so much weight, which was true because I would track all my calories on the days I was eating so little and then completely block out, forget, whoa, that was weird when I binged. Let's just pretend that never happened. Even like as it's happening, that feeling of like, you're like hiding it from yourself. Like,
yes, yeah, exactly.
That alternative reality, that's such a good term for like that feeling. And so what were some of the areas of your life, would you say, that were being most affected by this, like sort of everyday, you know, binging and like that escalating and just like seeing it get worse?
Well, I'll definitely say first too, that because you're lying to yourself so much, because your brain does the thing where it's really hiding that from yourself. I was never able to see it for what it was in the moment. You know, I it's not like I woke up day to day and thought, God, this binging is really ruining my life. You know, it was that internal piece of, there's something wrong with me, and I'm ruining my life, and I'm doing this because it must be something in me. So it was, you know, keeping myself small. Like, the more I dieted, the higher my weight got, and the higher my weight got, the smaller I want it to be to make myself, because I didn't want to be seen. So it was, you know, not showing up in my own business the way that I could have, you know, not wanting to be seen, like even like just out of the grocery store, like not wanting human interaction, like not wanting anyone to see me.
Yeah. And what was the hardest part for you about that wearing on you, of like feeling like as you got larger in size, just like this feeling of wanting to hide and like be small? Because I mean, Amber, I have an idea of like who you are, and you are not a small person. You are a powerful person. You are like a big presence. You are just like an incredible, you know, human. And so what sort of wore on you most about wanting to hide and wanting to not be seen?
I think getting like so far away from who I really was, like to the point where I didn't even recognize myself anymore. Like not just physically in the outside, but like things that I loved, you know, not doing things that I loved, not pursuing anything, not, you know, feeling passionate, like really just feeling blah is not even the word, really feeling just kind of dead, like going through every day feeling that dead, no joy, no, you know, extreme happiness, just really in that feeling every day.
Yeah. It's sort of like that numbed out, like you're just sort of keeping your head above water from day to day. And I know that for me, this is my experience. I'm wondering if it was for you as well, Amber, but I remember that being part of the feeling like there was something wrong with me. Like, I'm not excited about anything. Like, I don't feel passionate. Like, I just feel like everything is really hard. Oh, well, maybe I'm depressed. You know what I mean? Like, looking for other reasons of like, oh, why do I feel so awful? And never really looking at what was happening with food.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I started seeing a therapist at one point because I'm like, it has to be me. There has to be something wrong with me. It has to be, you know, depression. It has to be anxiety. It has to be anything else but food.
Yeah. And how else was it to be in that struggle, Amber, just like with somebody who's like been there and in it? Like, what else would you want to share about how this was impacting your life, how this was impacting you?
Really that I wasn't able to see how much it was impacting my life until I was out of it. You know, like you were just saying, when you're treading water day to day, like literally just trying to feel alive, you don't realize every area this is really affecting. My marriage, my relationship with my kids, you know, my relationship with other humans, just like I was saying, just going to the grocery store, like not feeling like I deserve to be seen, like in packing myself smaller and smaller, and that feeling every day, it's awful.
And how long would you say, like how many years have you, or did you struggle with food?
Looking back, I would say 25 years.
Yeah. So like, you know, a quarter of a century, you know, like that just stacking up. Like I know just how difficult that was. And what were some things that you were worried about? Like, I know that you sensed there was something wrong. You know, I know that, you know, at the time you were like, there's something wrong with me. Like, what were you worried about happening, Amber? Like if you weren't able to fix whatever was wrong?
Mm-hmm. Well, just even like practical, like health things. I was pre-diabetic. I, you know, was all my numbers were starting to rise. I was being put on medications. You know, just that out of control feeling of my weight going up and up and up. And like, I'm literally going to die from this. And wondering like, is my husband going to leave me? You know, is he going to get to the point where, you know, I'm just not attractive, or, you know, it like I feel so disconnected to myself and I feel so not good at myself, you know, am I projecting that onto my husband or my kids, or, you know, are my kids going to have eating disorders or weight issues because they've seen me, you know, diet and yo-yo up and down? I mean, I really can't think of one place or one fear, you know, that I didn't have of, this is just going to completely screw up my whole entire, like this is, and I think the biggest fear is just, this is going to be the rest of my life. Like if this does not kill me, this will be the rest of my life. And I mean, that's just terrifying.
Yeah. And I know like having that out in front of you is like so hard, because it's like, okay, well, if this kills me, that's awful. You know, what does that mean for my kids? What does that mean for my family? What does that mean for just like my legacy of who I am? You know, that it was this thing with food that killed me. And then on the other hand, just like the thought of living the rest of your life, you know, the next, you know, 50, 70 years of, you know, a life just feeling this way and it continuing to get worse. Like, yeah, that's a really scary thing. And I mean, for you, Amber, when you were trying, you know, to fix this, you know, when, you know, you were doing things, like you said, you know, you had a therapist and you, you know, were, you know, trying, you know, diets, like, what are the sorts of things that you were trying to fix this problem?
I mean, any diet that came across my path, I tried. And I was even thinking, like, when I was a teen, I would do like those silly, like the grapefruit diet or, you know, the chicken noodle soup diet or, you know, and half-heartedly, you know, but any diet you could name, I'm sure I tried. I'd tried things like a naturopath, you know, like having things checked that my regular doctor didn't, you know, like it must be hormonal stuff, you know, having hormones checked and thyroid checked and food sensitivity checks and a lot of health things, because I thought for sure something in my body wasn't working right because I was so blocking out the actual food part. Therapy, you know, I did therapy, you know, and for some other reasons too, but my therapist told me to just go to OA. And I didn't do that. And then there was just a myriad of like coaching, you know, online coaching, online programs, online, you know, ways of eating, any online thing over the past several years when I really kind of got to the point of, maybe there's something here with food, you know, any coaching program I could find.
Yeah. What was the most frustrating thing with all these things that you were trying and not seeing them work? Like, what was frustrating for you? What did you feel was missing for you?
Then I would have said like willpower, like there, again, that there's something wrong with me piece. Like I never finished any of them. If I would have finished them, it would have fixed it, you know? So it just added to that feeling like there was something wrong with me. But looking back now, you know, I can clearly say like nothing actually addressed the problem. So
yeah. And I know it's really hard to finish out and stick with something that isn't making anything better. Like, that's really tough. Yeah. I mean, like 25 years of faith and hopes that like, if I just keep doing this another year, like talk about willpower, you know, to keep trying when nothing is actually fixing the problem. Like that's really tough. anything else for you, Amber, that you wanted to share about just what it's like to be in that space?
I think just the overall feeling of, you know, it making you feel like you are inherently bad or broken or not good enough, or, you know, there's something wrong with you. Like just living in that feeling is, I mean, just like, you can't live like that. That is not living a life.
Yeah. And so then we got to meet, which is awesome. And I'm so glad. So it sounds like you, you know, you found us, you connected with us, you had a free session with us, which is how, you know, most people start out really getting the help that they need, is they, you know, have that free session. And you know, with that, Amber, like what were some of the biggest sort of aha moments for you? Like when you did come to us and you talked with our team, and then what were like some fears that came up for you in, you know, getting the help that you needed, or, you know, trying another thing, or, you know, all those sorts of things that go through our minds?
Yeah. Well, first on the ahas, it was the first time I had ever straight out looked at the food thing, like what I was actually eating, because, you know, again, it's something I just pushed out of my mind, like, oh, that didn't happen, or, oh, it's not going to happen again, so I don't need to count that. But the amount of calories that I was actually binging on was astounding. I mean, it was almost like I didn't believe it because it was so big. The number was so big. so come into reality of like, yeah, I'm actually doing that, was huge. And, you know, as far as fears, it was definitely, I mean, I felt like I had tried everything, you know, practical, non-practical, you know, and like nothing else had worked, and everything left me feeling even more broken. So why would this be any different? This is just going to be something else that I fail at. And, you know, it really felt like a last hope thing. Like, I don't even remember how I saw the video or how I signed up, but it really felt like a last hope thing where, like, this is literally my last chance. I've tried so many things. I'm exhausted from trying things. And if this doesn't work, like, I don't know. I do think I would have gotten to that point where I did just give up.
Yeah. And any other fears that came up for you at that point? You know, I know how hard that is to just have that wear on you of like, man, I know that, you know, we talk to so many women who say, I can't take one more failure. Like, they've been trying for so long and they just like, they cannot take another failure. And so for you, any other fears that came up, or for you, Amber, why did you decide to, you know, get the help you needed with us?
Well, my husband didn't know. like, he knew I had, you know, some weight things, obviously, and dieting, and but he didn't know like the big picture of what this was for me. And so it was kind of that, like, I know I need to do this. And it was honestly, I just knew in my bones, I just had this knowing that this was going to work. And I don't know how else to describe it other than it was just a full body knowing of, one, like, this has to work. And two, I'm like, I know this is going to work. But my husband didn't know. So making that decision on my own, you know, it was kind of either the choice of telling him, but that also meant telling him everything. And I wasn't ready for that. I wanted to do it on my my own terms, instead of feeling pressure to tell him because I have to do this thing. So that was a big hurdle for me, but I also knew I had to make that choice first. Like, this wasn't his choice. You know, it was my choice first, and then I could decide to tell him or not.
Yeah. And so, you know, just sort of like that knowing and that moving forward, and like, and I know that always takes bravery, and that always takes, you know, just that you don't know until you've experienced it, right? And so for you to really make that decision, because there's nothing else that can be done, right? It's like, you haven't had the experience yet. There's no amount of, you know, videos like we're doing right now, right? I mean, you can go and watch, you know, 50 of these videos, and it's like, you can see that it worked for all those people, but it's like, the only way that you really know that it works for you is to experience it. So it's always like, you know, we don't invite anyone into the program, but we're not 100% confident that we can help. But you guys don't know from our perspective, right? So being willing to be like, okay, like I need to make this decision, and it just starts with that choice. And so I just want to congratulate you for, you know, making that decision and making that choice. And now let's talk about freedom. So Amber, how long into the program would you say that it was until you really started seeing things working for you?
Immediately. Literally the first week was so eye-opening for me. I have, you know, never heard of this approach, never, you know, again, I was just in such denial about binging in the first place. So this was all very new to me, but the very first week, it was like this huge, oh my gosh, like there's other parts of my brain. And, you know, like it kind of, it was the relief point of feeling like there's nothing wrong with me, like intrinsically, you know, it's just this thing. And so that was huge. But then between, I'd say the first and the third weeks for me were really just like the pivotal, like, okay, I've got this. And I can see where this is going to be the rest of my life. Like, this isn't just, you know, some little thing.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, here's a band-aid, or oh, this willpower is working right now. I hope it lasts for the rest of my life. It's just like that fundamental, like, oh, I can see how this is like changing the rest of my life and just how things are fundamentally. So it's really beautiful. And let's talk a little bit about freedom. Like, how are things, okay, let's do it in a couple different ways because it's fun to look at because it's been so long since you've been graduated. So like, you know, after you really felt that freedom, you know, when you graduated from the program, like, how would you say that you would describe freedom at that point of just like, what was different for you in your relationship with food, your relationship with yourself? Like, give us a little snapshot of like freedom at that point.
Ooh, yeah. So there were definitely like wobbly moments, but it was this overall feeling of like, I'm in control, and not in a bad, like trying to control things before control, but just like this, I don't know, like a more natural control of like, I've really got this. And, you know, I can go through my day and not be terrified like that I'm going to binge. I mean, it was, there was a lot of brain space freed up right away. And I don't know, it just really lifted a lot of the shame and the guilt, like, almost kind of magically it feels like once I wasn't in that space of like that groundhog day after day after day after day, like it just kind of lifted a lot of the shame and the guilt, and like just kind of seeing my life open up like little by little by little, and realizing like I'm not broken and I can experience joy and I do have choice in my life. Gosh, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of, I'd say, emotional evenness and even like happiness brought back into my life.
Yeah. And what are some of those things? I know that you had mentioned earlier, and I just wanted to like come back to this because it's so beautiful. You're saying like there are ways that you didn't even know how hard it was to have an eating disorder until you were free. So what were those things that surprised you, Amber? Like once you felt, you know, free and you had that, you know, that freedom and like that ease and that peace in your life and could start experiencing, you know, joy again, like all these like fundamental things. Like what were some things that really surprised you of like, whoa, like I have that back. I didn't even know that was missing.
Yeah. Well, I think kind of on the flip side of was like, oh, I'm not actually like depressed. Like I'm not clinically depressed. Like, where did that go?
Surprise!
Yeah, I'm not clinically depressed and I really don't suffer from like severe anxiety. Like that was all related to food.
Yeah.
And so that piece and, you know, with that, just like, I don't know, it's almost like feeling like I put glasses on, you know, like I wasn't able to see. And then I put these glasses on, these magic glasses. And I was like able to see things further than right in front of me. Like, you know, I could see a little further down the road and, you know, experience things, like as they were happening, like, I guess like presence, you know, being more, having the capacity to be more present with whatever was happening in my life, like the little things and the big things.
That's beautiful. Actually, I have a friend who, you know, has been through like, you know, a lot of trauma and, you know, has had a lot of healing. And one thing that she said is, you know, when you're in this place of survival mode, you don't make plans, like you don't think ahead. And then once you start, you know, healing and like having your life back and like having your joy back, like you start thinking about like, oh, what do we want to work toward? What do we want to do? And it's like those glasses of like, oh, now I can see, like, you know, there's good life for me. It's not how I'm going to survive 50 more years of this. It's like, wow, what do we want to do? Yeah, that's so beautiful, Amber. I love it. Let's just touch on like, how is your relationship with food different now than it used to be?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I don't even know where to begin, but it's completely different than it's ever been in my life. Like as long as I can remember my life. I don't even want to say it's neutral because that's not accurate. There's no attachment to it. There's no, you know, obsession or negativity. Like, okay, so basically like in the morning, I'd get up and decide when I'm ready to eat. And I'd go to the fridge and, you know, like, okay, what sounds good? And start putting stuff on my plate. And like the other morning, I put little like French macaroon, like pastries on my plate because they're pretty and I, you know, like them. And then having my breakfast and deciding like, oh, I just don't want those now. Like, and I just put them back. Like just having the choice to have whatever I want, you know, and not the cycle of like, if I have too much of something or have too much sugar, you know, like it's literally just the effect of like, oh, I had too much sugar and my body's a little jittery and maybe I'm not going to do that next time. You know, there's no emotional attachment to it. There's no beating myself up and then trying to correct it the next day by starving myself or, you know, running or exercise. Like, it's just a thing in my life. Like, it's just another awesome thing in my life.
I love it. And I think that's such a beautiful illustration of being able to do otherwise. Oh, these look good. And you put them on your plate. And then actually, I don't want those right now. And putting them back. Like, I know that I never did that in my crazy days. Like, if I decided to have the food, oh my gosh, I've got to have it, whether I'm full or not. Like, I'm never going to have this again, right? It's just totally, totally different. Okay, so let's celebrate a year later. Like, what is that transformation? Like, what happens a year later, Amber? Like, you know, how are things different or better? Or it's like, what happens over time with these principles in your experience?
Oh, man. I mean, a lot of days it's like, I feel so far removed from ever struggled with that for 25 years. Sometimes I'm like, oh, that's another alternate reality that didn't even happen. But it's, okay, ask your question again, because now I lost track.
No, that's great. So a year later, like, what is the transformation that you've seen with, like, you know, a year of just continuing to live in freedom? Like, how does freedom sort of keep getting better, evolve over time?
Just the ease, you know, like, cause when I'm was first out of the program, it was like, you know, still wobbly parts. And then just as the year has passed, just being at that point where like, it's just an absolute, it's not in my life at all. You know, like it's not like I'm every day practicing, you know, like it's a hard thing where every day I'm working to not have food problems. Like it's just that natural thing in my life that I never thought was a thing or possible for me. And I guess being so far removed from it where, you know, like once in a while, if something pops up in my brain, like old programming stuff of, oh, you put macaroons on your plate, you know, now you have to eat them all. It's just a really simple, like, oh, that's weird, you know, and then move on with my day. Like it's, yeah.
I love it. Yay! And we are celebrating with you. And I love it, Amber. It's been so fun to just see your transformation and see you get free. Anything else just about your journey and that freedom that you would add? Or do you feel like that's complete?
Well, I think just, yeah, the principles themselves, like I also used them to clean up other things in my life that felt like food. Like when I stopped obsessing over food, I noticed that I was like drinking too much wine, like too much that felt good for me and my body. So I used the principles to clean up my wine habit. And now I just don't drink anymore. And it's totally a choice. It's not like a, you know, have to thing, but like these principles really impact every part of my life, like that doesn't feel good. You know I can use them for so many other things now that food's, you know, not an issue.
Love that. And just the power of that, right? Of being able to just like, once you have that freedom with one thing, it's like, where else do we want freedom? So
yeah,
that is so awesome. And the drum roll, please. I just wanted to like point out, if some of you guys are like Amber and like hearing Amber's voice and being like, I recognize that voice. So Amber, she is a grad of our program. She's, you know, free as she's been describing. And one cool thing is that we have an amazing team. And Amber is actually one of our breakthrough coaches. She's a coach on our team. And so she's just an incredible person. And she's somebody who has just been an absolute light and has been able to, you know, save so many other people from their struggles and, you know, really help them. And so if you guys recognize her voice, that's a little bit of who she is. And so just wanted to touch base and celebrate that aspect as well, Amber. Like, tell us a little bit about, like, what drew you to wanting to apply to help others, you know, to be on our team and to be part of this, and tell us a little bit about why you do what you do.
Yeah. So having carried just that guilt and the shame, I mean, the food thing is bad enough, you know, the food crazies, and, but the guilt and the shame of feeling like you're broken and living a life where you're making yourself smaller and smaller and smaller. Just knowing how miserable that was for me. And then trying so many things, like all of the things you hear on TV and on, you know, the internet of how to fix this, and feeling even more broken, like having found something that worked for me and like true freedom, you know, I knew I had to share that with other women. You know, I knew, like, I had to scream it, like, there is a way.
That is beautiful. I love it. And, oh, it's just so amazing having you on the team, Amber. You know we love you. You know you're adored. And it's just, it's so incredible to see, you know, us come from this place. You know, I was there too, right? If like, am I ever going to be free? Is this going to be the way I'm going to live the rest of my life? And then once you are, it's this very natural evolution of like, other people have to know about this. Like, it's like immoral for me to be the only person who's gotten free. Like, other people need to know. And so I love that, you know, you have done that in such a beautiful and specific way. And thank you for all the people that you serve and help that need this. And we just absolutely adore you, Amber. And it's so fun celebrating you today. So is there anything else that you would add before we wrap up for today?
Oh, yeah, I guess just that, like, I know how scary it is, you know, like making that decision, and I also know just how scary it feels, like being in that day to day and feeling like you have no other choice, but that there really is, like, there really is another choice, there really is a way, and it's the best decision I've ever made for myself. I would do it a million times over. I'd probably give you my left leg, Lydia. And I'm just so grateful.
That's what that's all about, Amber. And thank you so much. Like, that's really why we do what we do. And I'm so just thrilled that you're a part of that. Like, what an amazingly beautiful thing. Thank you for celebrating with us. Thank you for being the light that you are. Thank you for being willing to, even when you didn't know, you didn't have the experience to know this was going to work. Thank you for in that moment when you were afraid and when you, you know, felt like maybe you should default to someone else or maybe you should wait, that you made that decision for freedom because you are the only one that can make that choice. And anyway, so much love. And so this is Lydia, the lifestyle coach, and Amber, the coach as well, signing off. And thank you guys so much for being here. Mwah. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session, where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on three things. One, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. Two, what isn't working with your approach. And three, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Mwah!